public hearing, and
open the meeting.
Pardon? Okay, I'd like to open up the meeting of the Sheridan Economy Committee to order. I'd like to open a public hearing on House Bill 2248. And who is the first? And
the
why don't you give us the general update overview of this House Bill 2248?
Thank you. Run away without me. Members, the bill that's before you today is House Bill 2248, being gross. This bill has been heard by the House Commerce Committee and by the House Revenue Committee. It passed without opposition in both of those committees, and it passed the House floor with a vote of 59 in favor, and there were no votes in opposition. House Bill 2248, in both versions, makes extensive substantive changes to the economic development statutes affecting enterprise development in Oregon. Both the 3 to 5 year term and the long term investment programs. May I draw your attention to 2 sets of amendments that we have before you on this bill. The amendments, the Dash 13 amendments, are submitted by the League of Cities. I believe there will be a representative here to explain those to you. The Dash 14 amendments are submitted by Senator Lim, and they, in effect, allow a health club authority to qualify as an eligible business firm under the enterprise zone program. And beginning on the bottom of page of the first page on the Dash 14 amendment are provisions that would allow retroactive eligibility under certain conditions for a health care facility as well. These are the same provisions that were in Senate Bill 1146 that this committee recommended to the Senate to be passed and was passed off the Senate floor. Okay. Members of the Economic Development Department, I believe, are here also to explain the extensive changes to the enterprise zone law.
Okay. At this time, I'd like to call the Representative Siemens, you, and glad to have you with us.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Senator, members of the committee. My name is State Representative Mark Simmons. I'm from Elgin, Oregon, Middletown, and Battle of the Grand, about 340 miles from the capital. And economic development is a very big issue in my district. Oregon has fared very well along the I-5 corridor and a few pockets on the east side of the state, but by and large, we have not had or benefited from the kind of economic development and economic expansion that has benefited the Willamette Valley. I did. I am a member of the Commerce Committee in the House that heard this bill. It was heard primarily on the subcommittee that I was not a member of, and then it was moved to full committee. And I do have some amendments in the bill that I worked very hard on. As we see a greater economic expansion in the Willamette Valley, I believe there's a growing desire to see some of that economic development and expansion pushed out into some of the hinterlands and begin to provide greater encouragement for that development away from the I-5 corridor. And last session, we developed some long-term tax incentives. I believe it was primarily targeted at a steel mill potentially in Coos Bay. The thresholds for meeting the being able to take advantage of the benefits in the long-term tax incentives in rural enterprise zones were very high, $50 million initial investment, 100 new full-time employees, average wage at least 150% of the county's annual average wage, and this just isn't a reality for a lot of places in my district. I don't see anybody going to Wallowa County that is a chronic high unemployment area and investing $50 million and putting in 100 new jobs. And so what we did is develop some new criteria and established some thresholds, we decided to, working closely with the folks in the Economic Development Department, they were very cooperative, very helpful, tie the total initial investment to 0.5% of the real market value in, of all the property in the county. And so for Wallowa County, that brings it down to $2.5 million from $50 million. Now, $2.5 million is still a very significant investment in Wallowa County, and the number of jobs they have to create is 10 new jobs, 150% of the average annual wage is still left in. But we included the that is the loaded cost. That was just the wages and benefits included in that to make 150%. Where the initial, the way the bill was previously was 150% of the county average wage plus benefit package. And for Harney County, Wheeler County, Grant County, other chronic unemployment areas of the state, Baker County, for example, it would lower that $50 million threshold to $4,100,000 initial reinvestment. With the creation of, in counties of less than 40,000 population, 10 new jobs, 35 new jobs. If it's 10,000 or less, it would be 10 new jobs, 35 for the larger counties. And I believe these are good changes. I believe these are changes that recognize the importance to Oregonians of encouraging economic development in the rural parts of our state. This is only part of the bill. The bill is a fairly comprehensive look at rural enterprise zones and economic development, and I would certainly encourage your support of the bill.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Any questions from the members? Okay, if not, and I look through those amendments. So far, it's looking good. I discussed with the Senator, and they will support it. So,
yes. I'm sorry, I hate to walk in late and ask the question. I am concerned.
We are not discussing any amendment.
Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I haven't missed anything yet.
Just the last 5 months of the session, Senator.
I think I'll leave with that. What am I back to my decision?
Well, if there's no question, then I'd appreciate that testimony in supporting of the deal.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate
your faithful
chair. Yes, it's
Representative Simmons, what are do you have opinions on the amendments?
I have not had an opportunity to really examine the amendments to date that are now being brought before the bill. I'd be happy to look them over and offer one if you'd like.
I knew that you obviously put a lot of time in on this, and it was an important thing. And
I understand some changes. And
I'm a little leery of cluttering up somebody else's bill without at least some indication of whether they're in agreement with it. And I myself can look over the B-13 amendment and feel that there's some good reason to include cities who sponsor these in some part of the remuneration from the taxes. And I kind of wanted to know how you felt concerning
that. Senator Lim and Senator Fisher, some of those changes were made in the Revenue Committee that saw the bill after we had it in Commerce, had a subsequent referral to the House Revenue Committee. And I believe it may be more appropriate to ask Mr. Scott from the OEDD to elaborate a little further on.
Exactly. I will give up a quick moment. Okay. Any other questions?
Well, just one other.
Okay.
The amendment, H-14, G-14 amendment, basically inserts the premise of Senate Bill 1146, which effectively allows a particular medical facility that got involved in a situation where they have wind up being included in an enterprise zone, wants to be included in the provision to have the capabilities that the rest of the enterprise zone industries would have, and normally are denied to medical facilities and that type of thing. And there's some particular reasons on that, and that carried them past the Senate floor. They want to include it now in this, and so it would, in some ways, combine two ideas and two packages that are really not necessarily similar, just with the exception that they do involve an enterprise zone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, in fairness to you, I kind of wanted to have some little idea of whether you wanted to encumber this bill with some amendments or not.
Senator Lim and Senator Fisher, that is a significant policy decision that you're talking about, and I would need to take just a moment and look this amendment over and consider the effect of the Senate bill, and maybe seek a little bit of guidance from some local government people who would be offering, whose tax base would be providing the benefit before offering an opinion on that.
Yeah, 1146 did pass the Senate. I don't know what process it's in right now. I didn't look that
up. In the House, it's never been heard.
Is it in the Revenue Committee? Excuse me.
Commerce.
Commerce?
Yeah.
Okay, and Commerce is closed now.
Yeah. Yes. And we will discuss that issue with the art teacher on that particular amendment also. So,
Mr. Chair, I needed to leave for an appointment that I have at 1:30, but I will do my level best to get back here prior to, and I understand the issues with 1146,
yes.
And this other issue here was the 13, and so
if you could
do your badge, and I will hurry and
get
back. Well, why don't we horse trade, Mr. Chair, and have Representative Simmons make sure that 1146 gets through, and then we'll let this little puppy through.
Okay. Okay. That's an idea.
Hey, Mark, are you guys on the floor?
Yes.
So, ready? Like to call a successful discussion. Mrs. Scott, you're the next.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Bill Scott, the director of the Oregon Economic Development Department, and I have with me Art Fish, who is the program coordinator for the Enterprise Zone program. As staff explained, this bill before you received extensive amendment in the House, but it originally was a bill that was introduced at the request of the department, which was to both do some things that could be characterized as housekeeping to both our enterprise zone programs and also to institute some policy changes to bring the programs a little closer in line with the opportunities that Oregon communities are now seeing, as well as the new directions, policies of the interim work group on economic and community development. If you look at my testimony, maybe I'll take you directly to page 2, where I can summarize the changes that were originally in the bill, and then I'll walk you through the additional changes that were made in committee on the House side.
Are you talking about the page 2 of your testimony?
Page 2 of my testimony,
okay.
Which their pages aren't numbered, but it has a box on it with, and on the left side, in the basic enterprise zone program, which is a 3-year basic exemption, and a local government can elect to, under certain circumstances, grant a 5-year exemption. And what the amendments in this area do essentially are, first of all, to allow what we call call centers, which is essentially a customer service center where people take phone calls, and that can be either retailers or service businesses. And this is one of the major economic development opportunities open to retail, or I mean to rural communities today. And what we were trying to do is get clarifying language that made it clear that under the right circumstances, these centers would be eligible for enterprise zone benefits. At the time we originally defined the industries that were eligible, this sort of thing didn't really exist. So this is just to amend the language to make that clear. Secondly, what we did was make some modifications in the basic program that clarifies the authority of the local zone sponsors and county assessors to verify compliance with certain rules, and that's really in response to an audit that we had of the program during the interim. In the long-term program, which is a 15-year exemption that also has a corporate income tax potential exemption, the baseline amendments that the department proposed were first to allow that to be available in counties with chronically low income as well as those with chronically low unemployment, since we have a few places in the state that actually have fairly low unemployment but have also suffered a decline in income. Tillamook County would be an example. It's typically places that have a lot of retail and service employment but have lost their high-paying mill jobs. The other change was to give local governments the flexibility that they could negotiate a benefit of less than 15 years, so it's an up to 15 years rather than a all or nothing kind of thing, essentially to expand the flexibility of local governments to negotiate the deal they wanted. So those are basically the policy changes that were made in the original bill. Then if you turn to the next page, I'll walk you through the next two pages, the additional changes that were made, which the department is comfortable with all of them, and I think we supported just about all of them in the committee process. The first one is sort of like the call centers, and that's to clarify that headquarters operations are potentially eligible for enterprise zones. The second, was to add declining population as in addition to the high unemployment or low income as an opportunity. The only county affected by that is that would add Sherman County as an eligible place for the long term zone. The third set of amendments were the ones that Representative Simmons was describing, and this is probably the most extensive amendment to the bill. And I think he described it pretty clearly, is that instead of one very high fixed threshold in order to get the enhanced or 15-year benefit, we introduced the concept of a sliding scale that's basically based on the scale of the economy in the county, so that a place that's in a more remote area and has a smaller economy, the thresholds are reduced. And I think the materials that accompany my testimony, there's a full table that will show you kind of all of the impacts of that situation. The fourth set of amendments had to do with a specific situation that was being proposed, has been brought forward by Roseburg Forest Products, but we believe there are a number of other situations where communities would benefit from this, where the original enhanced enterprise zone bill, where the threshold was $50 million or under the new sliding scale, the only way you could qualify was to have a single facility that beat that threshold. what this essentially allows is that if you have, if the same firm built two facilities that together added up to that, two or more facilities that together added up to that, that would also qualify for the benefit. In this specific case, Roseburg is talking about two facilities, one of which will go into Riddle and would meet the threshold by itself. The other would go into Coos County and would not meet the threshold by itself. And the idea is to aggregate, to allow those investments to be aggregated so that they both qualify for the full benefit. So those are the, and then there was the fifth one is the one that I think is the subject of one of the sets of amendments before you. That's the B-13 amendments, which is in the Revenue Committee. It was pointed out by the Special District Association that in the case where the governor does approve an income tax exemption, that exemption is above the first million or 2 million?
Million, or and that was slide down too.
Okay, but it's above the first million of corporate income taxes, and what and that the when that million is paid, and then the governor is granted the exemption above it, the state has to share the million with the local government. The issue over with this amendment and your B-13 amendment is which local governments is the question, and the bill as it now reads would have that shared proportionately among the all the jurisdictions in that area. The B-13 amendments are proposed to modify that specific provision. So those were the changes in the, and I think the probably the local government associations may want to speak to those amendments, and the department, I would say, is neutral on the subject. The last thing I'd mention is the B-14 amendment, which was formerly 1146, would add healthcare facilities in rural areas to the subject of enterprise zones. The specific policy question here is that normally the industries that we allow this treatment for are what we call traded sector industries, which means that they are essentially producing primarily from markets outside Oregon. And that's most of our programs that have any limit as to industries, that's how they're limited. The idea being that we don't want to provide tax breaks that might differentially help one business that's trying to exploit the Oregon market over another, and that we're really seeking to incent production here as opposed to the development of the internal market of Oregon. The healthcare industry traditionally has been assumed to be a non-traded sector industry. I think what these amendments are designed to do is to recognize the fact that in very rural communities that may not have access to health care, that the availability of certain things is essential to attracting anybody else there or to the viability of the local economy. We've worked on the language so that we're, I think, fairly comfortable that the way it's now written is that it would restrict the use of it to situations that really meet that kind of a test, so that it, I think there was a strong aversion and still is on the part of some legislators to the idea of including healthcare facilities and the idea of kind of giving a tax break to one doctor over another, that sort of thing. And I think the amendment is now pretty well written to avoid that. But once again, the department is really neutral on these amendments as well.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you very much. And
if you have any questions that actually deal with not knowing the enterprise zone laws, then you have to ask Mr. Fish.
Okay. The 15-year for the National Enterprise Zone, perhaps abatement. Is that, could they extend it again, or extend it to maximum? They can do.
Under the 1997 sort of rural tax incentives, for the record, my name is Art Fish with the Oregon Economic Development Department, Chairman Lim, members of the committee. Under this long-term rural tax incentive, the 15 years is the maximum. It's, you know, the facility exemption or tax credits, assuming it's not a shorter period, would stop at that point. And any investments in the meantime only go to the end of that original 15-year period. So in this case, it's a total 15 years.
Okay. Thank you. And do you have anything to add?
No, except members of the committee, I'd be happy to try to provide you with further explanations about issues pertaining both to the amendments as well as the original bill.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'm going to leave for my other committee right now.
Okay.
You need me back. The concern, I haven't gotten to this, but I have a concern on the possible amendment to the bill. It deals with the allocation of funds to cities and counties and excludes service districts.
Okay.
So I, you're, what?
This new amendment is to include all of those restrictions.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have testimony on that.
And,
but it does, but it includes them, I guess, that's right.
Amendment includes.
It's dealing with the, just 50%, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, I think there's a little inequity in that, and that's why I would, we're going to talk about that a little bit later or something.
Sure. Okay. And we're going to hear the testimony on that one.
Okay. I think we'll have some testimony from the service districts. I just happen to be concerned. In my county,
okay,
my county is loaded with service districts.
Okay.
And I guess I would want to, I guess I want an equal playing field for them, too. So that's my concern.
Okay. So this new amendment will play more equal play.
Well, I think it's still, there's still some inequity in it, because you're getting equity with 50%.
Yeah.
But not with the full, not a full playing field. So I have a little trouble with that.
Okay.
Okay,
yes.
Chairman Lim, Senator Duncan, if I may indulge you, or if you indulge me, I just point out that your county, if I understand, is Clackamas County.
Yes.
And in the metro area, indeed, there are a plethora, if you will, of service districts. And I would just assure you that this only pertains to these 1997 long-term rural tax incentives, which only apply in rural enterprise zones in these counties with the high unemployment and the low income. So it's never going to be applicable in the metro area like that. And I can explain further the rural districts that could benefit under a potential scenario. So.
Yes. Sure.
Well, I think it will be helpful. This is the part that I want to flesh out as well, because it's kind of an unusual circumstance. Generally, special districts for the cities, counties are all together and stuff, and they're not on this. So I think it'd be good to kind of flesh this out. I share your same concerns.
Okay.
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 Okay, we'll call you back.
Okay.
Are you going to your art meeting?
Are you?
I wrote it down because I can't remember.
And Senator Duncan, we are going to discuss the amendment now. So
let me run next door, and then I may talk about it.
Okay.
Don't run.
Excuse me, Senator Bill Scott again. I wanted to point out one thing that's along the lines of what Mr. Fish just said. I think one thing to keep in mind is that this extended enterprise zone situation in which the rebate would apply is a provision that has never been used. I think it is in the process of being used for this facility in Riddle today. We expect it to be used in the future, but it's essentially quite a rare situation that should happen. I would think on the order of once or twice a year statewide, and I think it's important to keep that in mind in terms of the I think for each local situation where it happens, the stakes may be fairly high, but I think that's where the stakes are in these situations.
Is that the old bubble of this question?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. It's the income tax relief can only be supplied with the governor's permission.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes.
Thank you very much. I do have a question for Mr. Scott, and I apologize for not being here for your presentation. But there is an amendment requested by the City of Portland and the Portland Development Commission. I've not been visited by either of the parties, and so I need to hear your comments on the amendment, and just to help me understand exactly what it is accomplishing.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gordway, these are amendments that were included on the House side, so they're in the B and Gross version.
Okay.
If you look at my testimony on the third page, I walk through the each set of amendments that were incorporated in the B and Gross version.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is the one that you're referring to, and it specifically is to clarify that the eligible industries that could qualify for an enterprise zone benefit include a corporate headquarters operation. And the example that was given was the Adidas move into the Kaiser facility. I mean, that's not going to be a real high property tax situation, but that was an example of the kind of thing this could apply to.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Let me hold it. Okay, let me call at this time the above campaign, AOC.
Welcome. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Bob Cantine with the Association of Oregon Counties, and I'm here to comment on the -13, I believe, amendments, the ones that deal with the distribution of the 30% that would be returned to local governments in the event the governor approves the tax exemption. And maybe a little history would be useful here, because I was pretty heavily involved in the development of that whole idea to begin with back in the last session when they had the new core steel facility, which pretty much generated this change in the law to begin with. And our experience with this issue and how to deal with it goes back one step before that, which was the strategic investment program, for example, where Washington County just granted another a tax exemption under that program to Intel. And at that time, when the administration and the Department of Economic Development came in with that whole program right at the end of the session, we raised some serious concerns, because they were asking the counties to give up the tax base of the county, and there was nothing to compensate them for picking up the service impact of that facility. At that time, we suggested the income tax, and since that would be flowing back to the state, and they were reluctant to do that. So the settlement was basically what is called a community service fee in lieu of any other source of revenue, and that comes basically from the company itself. It's sort of an in lieu of payment to the county. At that time, the way it was designed so that it went to the county, which is the one granting the exemption. It was then their role and responsibility to work with the other local governments that would be affected, whether it was schools, whether it was special districts, or whether it was cities, and agree on a way in which that the proceeds of that community service fee could be used to help all of them deal with the issues that they would have. So then, jumping forward to 1997, along came the proposal here to change the enterprise zone to handle the new core facility. And at that point, we got very near the end of that bill, and it was, we identified in there the fact that there was $1 million payment that would be made to the state, and it was the first $1 million of corporate income taxes were not exempt. Whereas the county was giving up all of its property tax, and the state was giving up money above that. And so we asked Nucor and others whether they had any problem with having a portion of that shared with the sponsor. At that point, the best we could think of was the sponsor of the rural enterprise zone. And they had no problem with that, and an amendment was drafted, and that's how the 30% got in there. Now they're expanding the use of that rural enterprise zone to more counties, to more situations. And the question arises, well, is that method that we had then with the enterprise zone sponsor, who in our discussions with cities at that time would play the same role as in a strategic investment program, that is to sit down and work with the other local governments that need assistance, would that be acceptable? And it was. Apparently now there's some concern that that may not work well, and that the better approach is to have some, in effect, some guarantee for the sponsor, whether it's a county or a city doing the sponsoring, and then the remainder of it shared based on whose tax base is being exempted in this particular project. I have no problem with that. I think that's probably a pretty fair solution, because in some cases it will allow the entity that might be sponsoring it, like a city, that otherwise would not derive any portion of the proceeds if the facility is outside their boundaries, but also it's going to carry the impact for where the people are going to live, their business, do those kinds of things. So from our point of view, having been involved in the initial design of that distribution, I don't have any problem. The counties, that would be acceptable to us.
Something about the first amendment. Any questions?
Okay.
Senator Duncan, did you have any questions?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Not up on too well, except that was the only question I had. Was
okay.
That one?
Did you
don't know.
Just say. Okay, I'm going to call if you want here. I'd like to call at this time. Let me see. Ken Armstrong. Yes, of course.
I don't know. He's pretty tough. Isn't that the truth?
My constituent.
Oh, excuse me. Your constituent.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Ken Armstrong. I'm here before you today on 2248, representing both the Oregon Public Ports Association, which most of you know me in that context, and also representing the Oregon Fire Chiefs Association. We support House Bill 2248. From the port standpoint in particular, Enterprise Zone is an extremely important tool for economic development. No quarrel with that whatsoever. The one concern that we do have is over the Dash 13s. We don't have any problem with the Dash 14 amendments. Our concern with the Dash 13s, when this bill was in House Revenue, we testified that there was some problem with the 30%. The way the bill was written at that time was that the 30% of that first million would go to the Enterprise Zone sponsor. In our view, that's inequitable. It needed to be distributed to the other districts that would be impacted by the property tax exemption, and needed to be distributed equally amongst all of those districts. It's not just the sponsor that has an impact through the Enterprise Zone granting. So you're going to have a fire district that's going to have increased services that that fall upon them as a result of it. They're seeing their property taxes go down. They don't have any means to recoup that. Certainly the sponsor has that same situation. Our view is let's make that an equitable split. So we support the bill as written, the B engrossed version, which shares the 30% amongst all the districts. We do have some problem with the Dash 13s, which would require 50% of that 30% to go to the sponsor and the remaining 50% to be shared amongst all of the other districts. We think it's an equity issue and that we all ought to share equally in that 30%. Even though we're not talking about a great deal of money, we're talking about what represents a policy issue. And so we would support the bill as written. We support the Dash 14s, opposed to Dash 13s.
Okay, do you have any specific amendment at this time, Dan? If you are just outright oppose it, or do you have any amendment?
Outright opposed, Mr. Chair. The Dash 13s.
But you support the 14.
Correct. The House Bill 2248 being gross reflects the amendments that we asked to be included in that out of the House Revenue Committee. So we think that is a good compromise. It still gives the ability of the sponsor to receive some benefit of that. It gives the other taxing districts in the area the ability to receive some benefit.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Hasina Squires representing the Special Districts Association of Oregon. I think I would like to echo what Mr. Armstrong has said today and also like to point out to the committee that when an enterprise zone is created, it is created by a city or a county or cities and counties together. There is nothing in the statute that deals with this legislation on page 7 is the page that I'm referring to, that requires special districts to even be at the table, to have some sort of veto power. It seems to me that cities and counties can create the enterprise zone, or they can choose not to create the enterprise zone, and they know exactly what they're getting themselves into. Special districts, on the other hand, does not have the ability to say, we understand that you as the city or the county may want to create the enterprise zone, but we would like you not to exempt our property taxes in that zone. We automatically get exempted. Our property taxes are automatically exempted by the creation of the zone. So when the issue arose over the 30% of the first $1 million in corporate income tax, we really, as a second, I mean, a smaller policy issue that really relates to the larger policy issue of special districts not signing off on the enterprise zone and the preemption of special district property taxing authority by a city or a county, when that distribution is made, We did not ask for the amendment to be drafted so the money went completely back to all of the special districts. We asked that it be shared equitably between the cities and the counties and the taxing districts who lost property tax revenue by the creation of the zone. And we strongly oppose the B-13 amendments.
I got a scorecard going here. Okay. So I got Simmons, Representative Simmons is not crazy about the 13th, but he's okay with the 14th. That answers Representative Fisher's thing. Is that a correct analysis?
Yeah.
Okay. So Simmons is okay with 14, not with 13. These guys don't like 13 or 14.
No, Mr. Chair, Senator Corcoran, we have no objection to the 14.
Okay, 14's okay.
Dean Gross, 14, okay.
Okay. And 14, same one.
14 fire chiefs, same.
Yeah. I'm drawing pictures. I don't write. I'm Irish, all right? Leave me alone.
Mr. Chair, Senator Corcoran, a boat or a burning bunk bill?
Start with me now. Port of Morrow has got not got too many boats.
I think you're lucky.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions? You have questions? Okay. Carol, yeah, that's a question.
I wonder to either Ken or Hasina, what about the situation when a facility is located outside of the boundaries of the city? So therefore, the city is not losing taxes, so they're not being repaid under 2248D because there's no tax impact, but they are having to sustain the other infrastructure costs of the development of the facility.
Mr. Chair, Administrator Reese.
Thank you.
No, she's
I can let her both do something.
Make sure they have your scorecard.
She's pretty smart.
I guess my response to that would be that it's still the city's and the county's choice to create that enterprise zone, and if they don't want to create the zone, they don't have to.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Administrator Reeves, I'm frankly not exactly sure how to answer that question. I think the only time this issue becomes an issue for us is if there is going to be some property tax losses by some of the districts, and then you're going to see a pretty small amount of money, the $300,000, that can then be distributed. There's going to be lots of districts, presumably, that are going to have some impacts from that. They ought to be able to share in that amount. We're not talking about a huge amount. It's really more of a policy representation here.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other? Yes. Would like to come on over. Yes, it's about 10 times.
I did. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I do think that's a very important question that was asked, because the city creates a zone but has no property involved if it's outside the area, and they're getting the impact under the amendment, the 30% amendment that we have that was made in the House. There would be no sharing of revenue to cover that impact with the community that sponsored the enterprise zone. And that creates the inequity. That was the reason why we designed it the way it was initially. That was the used the offices of the county to bring all those parties together and address their needs. And that's what they do up in the metro area with the strategic investment program. As an alternative to that, the -13 amendment, I don't think is a bad concept to admit, because at least if they sponsor it and they're trying to improve their rural economy for their rural community, then there is a way for them to also address part of the impact caused by that facility.
Okay. When you draft this at 13, were you able to have a chance to discuss with the special district?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
I was not involved in the drafting of the 13. So they were drafted by the representative of the League of Oregon City.
Okay. Thank you. Yes,
there's a question from Mr. Kenson. So the city's obviously okay with 13 then, because they drafted it. And I know that you're okay with 13, but how are you with 14?
I do not, Mr. Chair. Senator Corcoran, I do not have a position on 14.
Neutral. You guys aren't much help, no? Thank you.
All righty. Is any other person like to testify on the Senate Bill 2248 or the 13 amendment or 14 amendment? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, Bill Scott again. I guess I just have, as I said, we don't have a position on the on these amendments, but I guess I wanted to say there, I think there is one policy point related to our role as administrator of the program. We're often in a position, we try to discourage the proliferation of enterprise zones and to encourage people to expand their zones to include others for essentially for the sake of efficiency of administration. I think in that context, I guess I would say we don't think that the B13s, I understand how the associations see an important principle at stake. We don't think in the long run that it's a really big deal in practice, but I do think that we would like to see the role of sponsor is not necessarily a very exciting thing to do, and we would not like to see any disincentive to being a zone sponsor or to expanding one zone so that one city perhaps is administering a zone for a neighboring city or for a neighboring unincorporated area. That's a situation that has come up, you know, a number of times. So I guess I'd say in that sense, the B13 sort of appealed to me, but it's not, I don't think it's very life-threatening one way or the other.
Okay. Sure. Well, so, yeah, I'm going to ask you the same question. From a policy standpoint, you have the bill as it is, the 13th and the 14th. Comment on each one.
We're strongly in favor of the bill as it is. I would say we do not feel strongly in favor of either way on either the 13s or the 14s.
You're neutral.
I guess you'd say we're leaning toward the 13s and probably the 14s. I guess I'd say I think there's going to be a very limited impact from the 14s, and I'd be completely neutral on the 14s.
Okay. Anybody else want to wager on this one, Mr. Mary? No, you got no opinion on this?
Okay. If there's no further public testimony, then I'd like to close our public hearing on Hospital 2248. And are we ready for work session on this one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'd like to open a work session on Hospital 2248.
Sure. I move the 14 amendment.
Okay. Is there an objection or adopting the 14 amendment? Now, if it's adopted, it becomes the part of the Hospital 2248.
Okay.
And
Chair, I'll move House Bill 2248 as amended to the floor of the business recommendation.
Any discussion? And Senator, I was talking about you.
I think we satisfied Representative Simmons in this. We did a scorecard on who was happy with what amendment, and we kept Representative Simmons happy. Although it's hard to tell because he's from that part of Oregon where you can't tell, their facial expressions are just totally blank, so you never know with the guy. Simmons is okay with the 14th, and Burns just moved the 14th, and we didn't move the 13th. There's disputes between all the different groups. OEDD, these guys are waging 3-1. The old bill loses, guys from revenue. No. Anyway, OEDD.
Can you understand this picture, Senator?
Anyway, the motion now is to move the 14th.
Okay, so got it? Okay.
Move the bill.
Yes.
The 14th have already been.
Any more discussions?
You're not going to do the 13th?
No.
Maybe. Aye.
Senator Duncan.
Aye.
Senator Fisher. I'm not sure.
You want me to go for it?
And this is on the bill. Yes, as amended with the first one.
Yes. That's the one you carried on the floor.
Give me a signal, Mark.
It's indicated that the impact of the Dash 13 will be still infrequent and a small impact, but it's not perhaps not as significant as.
Then why are the sports and fire department worried about it? That was my question.
What's that, 13?
I don't think they're getting it. Well, it's very hard.
So, are you still high?
I think they're okay.
I'm going to support the bill. I'm not necessarily happy that we're not including this.
Issue. Okay, so that means aye.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mayor Vermeer.
Aye.
Chair Lynn.
Aye. The House Bill 2248 passed as amended, and then, who will, and who, any volunteer to carry the bill?
I'd be happy to carry since I kept score. This will be a fun one.
I think you could be a good person to carry.
Thank you.
Okay.
We
all appreciate it together. Okay. And with that, any other discussion, information? If not, and we are going to close work session, and then
you have every reason to be nervous, Bill.
Okay. Hold on one second.
Okay.
We have some last things to do. And Senator Gordon, I'd like to say a few words.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. This may be our last meeting as the Senate Trade and Economic Development Committee, unless we are called back into service by the Senate President. And on behalf of the committee, I would just like to take the opportunity to thank Bill Scott and all of the staff of the department for the fine work and responses that we have received to various questions and concerns along the way. Your hard work has not gone unnoticed, and it's been a pleasure to work with you, with all of you.
Okay. And don't forget my money for telecommunications in Wayne County. Thank you very much.
Any other members would like to make a comment?
I just would concur.
Okay.
It's Wayne, not Lake County.
She's my spokeslady, so she spoke for all of us, okay? So with that, meeting is adjourned. Especially, I want to thank that the auction again for Sarah. And also the Gary Lou Rulia. I got trouble all the time. And thank you very much for working with us. But work is not finished yet. Still, we got to go. Okay? So until we sign it by, we need to work on together continually. And bless each one of you again. And thanks. Meeting is adjourned.